what you think you can in Him. As long as you're in Him, stay in the Spirit. And I used to think that I was all the time trying to get in the Spirit, Mac. But I found a scripture in the Bible that says you are in the Spirit if you're in Jesus. You're walking in the Spirit. You've actually got to yield to the flesh, yield to emotions and all that. But how many knows it's very important to remember when we're challenged to stand on God's promises. His promises are in Him, yes and amen. But it's when the challenge comes, being aware of yielding to the promises of God. Because I'm telling you, God, He does extraordinary things for folk that stand on His promises and not move. Anybody can stand on the promises on Sunday morning in church, you know, when the anointing's flowing and all that stuff's going on, words coming forth. But it's a different story on Monday or Tuesday when your banking account, you just honestly don't know how. You know, that is, to a lot of folk, they think that is an awful, awful place. But I'm going to tell you something. I've learned over the years, you know, is kind of like Monty was talking about. I started out and my pastor preached a sermon, I think it was night, but anyways, preached a sermon and he's talking about believing God, you know. And if you're really believing God, you don't have to go tell everybody, you know. And he was really just bringing forth a message, you know, and God knew what he was doing in my life at that time, you know, that, you know, don't say you're trusting God, then go tell five people believing that maybe they will move on to bail you out. That's, in other words, he was saying that's not really trusting God. He said, if you're trusting God, he said, you don't have to have everybody. He said, I'm not saying it's wrong to ask people for help or whatever, you know, or two or three agreement, you know. But anyhow, what I got out of it that night, you know, when I left there and I thought, bless God, he's either real or he's not. And if I'm going to serve God and he's really going to do supernatural things in my life, I'm going to do what he said tonight, praise God. You know, and when it's hard, I'm not going to turn to people. I'm just not going to. And I'm telling you, God, every time I would do that, and still does it today, every time I do that, stand on God's promise concerning the situation, I'm telling you, I see God work that thing to my good every time. He works things according to the counsel of His will, you know. And I was thinking about the, you know, what Deuteronomy 8:3 says. It says, man, you can put that up there, Zach. We go over this a lot here. But he says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Talking about in the wilderness. Go back and study it out. He's talking to the children of Israel. They was in the wilderness. God took care of them. I mean, fire by night, cloud by day to keep them cool. I mean, their shoes didn't wear out. And I mean, man, Teresa stood on that scripture, her blazer one time, and we never had to put a set of tires on that blazer. Never did. It never looked like. I mean, we drove that thing for 2 or 3 years, and those tires still look brand new when we got rid of it. She stood on that scripture, you know, my tires won't wear out, praise God. Because back then, I mean, $300 or $400, we couldn't, you know, we'd have to save 3 or 4 weeks or so to get it. But anyhow, he's telling them here, he says, manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, shall man live. And you follow that on into the New Testament, and see, Jesus didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Philippians. None of that was there, you know. And Jesus, when he was led up by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, I mean, he quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. He told Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. And every time Satan would come at him, Jesus would come back with the Word of God out of the Old Testament. And you know, and he went on and, I mean, he even quoted it to Satan, man shall not live. In other words, Jesus saying, I'm not yielding to the flesh. I'm not yielding to the way I feel. I'm not yielding to my circumstance. I know the will of God that led me up here. I mean, the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordained to the Lord. See, I'm not in Bluntsville by chance. I could have been born in Ohio. I mean, you know, all kinds of things could have took place. You're not where you're at by chance. You know, I told somebody one time, they said, well, I've never served God, and and I've got this and this and this. I said, you didn't get all that on your own. I said, what you don't realize is if God ceased to exist, you wouldn't breathe anymore. He is the air we breathe, whether we ever acknowledge it or not. He is the source of life, whether we ever acknowledge it or not. And the Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. I tell him, I said, listen, I said, God has been as good to you as you have allowed God to be. And look how your life has turned out pretty good. I said, what if you had served God? I said, it would have been triple better than what it is now, praise God. You know, well, how do I get that? How do I know all of that? The Bible says it. In him we move, breathe, and have our being. Hallelujah. You know, we don't live by bread alone. See, we trust in a supernatural God. You know, just like, you know, I went through a party. That's not my first rodeo. I mean, I'm absolutely, and I'm not just giving credit to the doctors and the new veins and all. I'm giving credit to the healing power of Jesus. I'm giving credit to the Word of God, that I had the promises of God, that I stood on and didn't yield to feelings and emotions and the way things looked and what people told me, sign up for disability, poor old Scotty this, you know, didn't yield to all of that. Lived by the Word of God. I lived by the Word of God in that season that I went through. Past the pain, I was in pain at times, different things, you know, all kinds of things. But I stood on the Word of God, and I spoke to my circles, and I spoke to my body. I don't live by bread alone. I don't get healed by natural medicine. I stood on the promises of God. But I've done it my whole life, you know, since I've been born again, when I'm following the Lord. Just like my marriage, been married 35 years. We need some more of that going on in the generations behind us. We need people that says, bless God, we got married and God hates divorce. Stand on God's word. Stand on God's promises, you know. Praise God. You know, Aiden, it just blessed me. We go pick them up before church on Wednesday night. And we're walking out to the truck, and he said, Papa, we're going to the pumpkin patch this evening, you know. And I said, no, we're not going to the pumpkin patch. Papa, we're going to church. And I said, yep. Baby, we're going to church. And he said it about four or five times, climbing up in Grandma's car. We're going, Papa, we're going to church. We're going to church. You know, that blesses me, Matt, that here he is coming up behind me, you know, in his mind on Wednesday night is going to church with Grandma and Papa. You know, and before you know it, you know, I mean, he says he's blessing over his food sitting on our back porch last night. You know, I mean, he's sitting there, and I start up the stairs, and Aubrey actually learned it in school. God is good. God is great. She's trying to say the prayer. Normally she won't, you know. And then Aiden, he says, hey, blah, 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 whatever he said. He said, in Jesus' name. And I mean, I almost wanted to run off of that porch and shout, Matt. I thought, you know what? These kids has an advantage on a lot. Because they have people in their lives that are standing on God's promises that only are going to know to trust God and lean on God and talk about Jesus and all of that, you know, so that they don't have a lot of the struggles and battles that we have because we lived a long time without Jesus, without the things of God, without the promise. There's a lot of struggles when we live a long time without God in our life. When we start getting saved, you know, and he talks about coming out of sin and let not sin run. I mean, we a lot of us have a lot of hang-ups and issues and strongholds and all that stuff that on the inside we want free from and Cain and all. They won't see all of those struggles. I'm not just talking about my grandkids. I'm talking about these kids. I'm talking about their kids, praise God. I'm sitting here one day and but when God told me to open a church here, you know, and I was just standing on God's promise that God would do what he had asked me to do. And I looked at this building, you know, and I thought, man, there's no way. I mean, it would cost me $150,000, $200,000 to make this building happen. You know, that was my thinking back under. in the late 90s, you know, around 98, 99, 2000 something. We started 2001 or two, I think. But I mean, I would come, and I'm sitting here, and I couldn't take it long because that floor was rotted out over there. I mean, no ceiling in here, just an old warehouse, you know. This stage, none of this was here. That was a hole in the wall right there where I put the double doors. I mean, you know, and I didn't have the money to do it. See, and I'm not just telling you my story. Whatever God speaks to your heart through the Word, whether it's healing or finances or marriage or kids, you've got to stand on that promise. You've got to take that promise and say, God is able to make this promise come to pass. But you know, I remember I'm sitting here and I look and it's just so overwhelming. I just get up and leave the building. I thought I can't sit there long, you know, because I can't see how to do it. I can't see how this can happen. You know, so I would just leave. And then I would pray and I would fast. And I'd say, God, you told me to start a church. Black God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this is not my problem. Just like Monty was talking about, they cast it over on the Lord, whether it's your finances or whatever God's telling you to do, your marriage, you know. And so before you know it, faith was in there. I'm like, God's going to do it. Well, see, it went from my hands to His hands in my heart. See, when things goes from our hands and our ability and all of that over into His, that's called not staggering then. You don't stagger concerning the promise. And then God's able to make it happen. I mean, some of the guys down here, I had a friend we bought some of the system from, and he was a Baptist, and I mean, I'm not against none of that, but they wasn't taught the Word of faith in that. You can teach the Word of God, but just, you know, I mean, they would tell stories about James and stories about, you know, this and that, but never relating it to our life, you know, that we can apply the same thing that they did to our life, you know. But I'd never heard nothing. And I told the Lord when it got to the drop ceiling, all of this drop ceiling, I went, called, got a price, measured it all out. I don't remember, it was on up in thousands or two or whatever, you know. And we didn't have the money, and God would tell me every time, sow a seed. Sow a financial seed somewhere into a church or something. You know, well, don't the Scripture back it up? There's a promise, give and it shall be given, good measure. Press down. It didn't say have fundraisers, go out and wash cars, sell hot dogs. I mean, I had people come in here, you know, they would say, well, you know, we can have fish fries. We'll catch the fish and we'll raise money and we'll sell T-shirts and we can make, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'd tell them, that's not what God said. God said He would do it. We've never sold a hot dog. We've never had a fundraiser, you know, and all. I just believe because I was taught the Word of faith that if God tells you He's going to do something, whether it's in His Word or by His Spirit to you, if you will not turn loose of the promise that God made to you, God will perform it. So He comes down here and He said, well, how many of y'all are they? I said, about 30. He said, well, how much money are you borrowing? I said, I ain't borrowing no money. I told God I would never put this church in debt, period. He said, so y'all ain't borrowing no money, and y'all got about 30 people. I said, yeah, that's it. I said, we sow seeds. Sow seeds? He was amazed at what I was saying. He just couldn't comprehend with his mind that we was putting this drop ceiling, done put the floors in, all of it debt-free, you know, just walking with God and following the Lord. Well, you know, there come a time when I was sitting here and all that, and I said, Lord, how do you want the stage? How do you want it? Sought the Lord on the stage. Some said build 3 steps all the way across, you know. I mean, there's about four or five different ways people said to build the stage. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I could see it. Because the church I came out of had the steps all the way across. But all of a sudden I just seen it on the inside. How did he want to build it up like this and put steps on each side in the altar in the middle? And then I said, Lord, where's the sound booth going to be? I saw the sound booth where it's at and built it exactly like God said. Built it exactly like God said. But what I'm saying here, you know, during the challenges of, you know, walking in the promise that God's made with you, you've got obstacles. Just like Jesus and Paul and Timothy, all of them, you're going to have obstacles. You know, I've still got obstacles being married.
Gosh, y'all quiet, man.
I went in today, got in about lunch, and everything Teresa said was irritating. I mean, just somebody talk irritates you. It just irritates you. It wasn't her. And I told her, I said, I feel very irritated. I could tell by the look on your face. You know? But I said, I'm not yielding. See, it wasn't either one of us, Mac. There's demonic spirits. Didn't you know there's demonic spirits that takes over territories and cities and all and rules? And, you know, people said, well, Satan can't rule. Oh, yeah, he is. Look at stealing, killing, and destroying. If he can get a person to yield, he begins to take domain there. He begins to rule there. If I give him an inch in my house, he'll take a whole lot. He'll take the whole living room over. I mean, he'll rule if a person will yield. And you know, yielding to fear and not going to have enough, not going to be healed, going to die young, all that stuff gives place to the devil. Gives him place to build up strongholds of doubt and unbelief. You know, and I've even done it before, strapped myself financially. You know, I've thought about it over the course of, I mean, all of my trucks broke down just about. One started skipping, going to cost me this and that. You know, and I thought, man, just get rid of all of them. Go get me two new trucks. I don't care about the payment, just my mind, you know. And I thought back to the time where I'd hooked myself financially. Payments over $1,000 a month on just vehicles. And we couldn't enjoy nothing. And so I carried it to the Lord, you know, and got on my knees. And I said, God, I said, I yield this to you, Lord. I've made mistakes here. And I've got us where we can't even. See, even if you've made a mistake, carry it to the Lord. But you know what I thought? I thought, nah, Lord ain't leading me to do that. My circumstances is trying to get me to yield that way. See, you can't yield to pressure without seeking the Lord and seeing what the Lord is saying. Whether you got peace on the inside, not here. See, and two new trucks would have straightened me out there. But you know what? It would have strapped me financially. See, so I says, nope, not doing it. Well, you know, I started yielding to the Lord, believing God. Now all my trucks are back on the road. And I didn't go do what the pressure was trying to get me to do. See, it's easier just to go with the pressure than it is to fight sometimes. Just yield to the circumstance and all that. But you won't see the promise of God if you do it. You'll see your own deliverance. You'll see and that thing, I'm telling you, when it's the flesh, when we yield to the flesh like that, and we make, it'll eat us. I mean, it will whip us. To stay on us. Why? Because whatever we start, we got to maintain. But whatever God leads us to do, he anoints us in the middle of it. I could have went and borrowed the money to do this church. That would have been the quick way, the easy way. I remember Jesus Jam Fest. I don't partake in Halloween stuff. I just don't get into it. You know, too much stuff goes on. Too much witchcraft and too much darkness, you know. Ain't got nothing to do with pumpkin harvest, you know. And all of that, I just don't partake in it. Never have, never will. And Travis ain't never lost no weight on account of it. He's had plenty of candy. I could buy him a whole truckload of candy in just a few minutes. And have him where he won't have no teeth in 6 months. You know. But I remember we didn't have room back there. And at that time, God was anointing it, you know, for the youth and stuff. And so we was having Hallelujah. Jesus Jam Fest was the name of it, wasn't it? Jesus Jam Fest. And was doing it on October the 31st. Because I'm thinking I'm going to take back October the 31st. We're going to have some preaching, praise and worship. We're going to have some people getting saved. We don't even have to get a pump. We've packed this place. Walls, standing down the walls. I mean, we didn't have not one pumpkin, not one bobbing for apples. And I ain't get churches to do that. Do what you want to do. It's for me, I'm not going to do it. Don't need to. If the word of God and the power of God is not enough, well, then it's just not enough. Well, I remember, you know, we've had church back under. This didn't exist. We had the ceiling in, but no carpet, seems like, and no heat and cooling systems. October the 31st, and we had brought all the pews out of there back here, you know, because we was having church back there where the double doors was, that was where the pulpit said. No rooms back there. And we get here, and then I told them, I said, when it was all over, had a good time too, man. People, teenagers getting saved and all that stuff, you know. And I told them, I said, well, it was on a Friday night. I said, we'll just meet down here tomorrow, and we'll get things put back in the church, you know, we wouldn't have church Sunday. And then I'm standing there, and one of them said, we don't want to go back. I said, what? They said, we don't want to go back. They felt like, Mac, that it would be going back to go back in yonder. They wanted to have church here, in here. You remember that? You know, and I'm against it. There's no heat and cooling system. There ain't enough. I mean, we don't got carpet in the house. I mean, you know, the whole pressure of that choice come on me all of a sudden. And I thought, man, how are we going to stay? It's wintertime. Here it's coming up on winter. We got no heat and cooling. And, you know, I thought about it just a second, cast those thoughts out. And I said, bless God, just let's do it. I said, let's don't back up. Well, here we are today. God promised what he done. And I mean, here wasn't too long. Here comes the heat and cooling system. I put them all in myself other than weld them up. Didn't know I could really do it. Asked the Lord to anoint me and help me, praise God. And I did it. I put all the duct work, everything. Run all the duct work, run it all, except for brazing it up. And Sandy's brother come over here and braze the lines up for me. We're kicking, baby. You know, and all I'm saying, we didn't borrow the money. We didn't have the money. God brought it in. God started to bring the, every time you believe God, the promise will show up. It'll show up. Now, you know, I mean, just a guy on my friend's list, he said, if you take up an offering in church, you know, that churches are supposed to take up offerings outside the church. And I'm thinking, where'd this weirdo come from? Take up offerings. Don't take up offerings in the church. And he said, well, all the churches now, he said, they're just wicked. All the churches are man-made now, you know, and all of them is just evil. Like that, you know, and I went back on there. I'm fixing to lead him when I get home anyhow. It ain't got time for that. And I went on there and I said, hey, man. I said, there ain't no way that you've been to every church on the planet to make that statement you just said true. There's a lot of churches on this planet. Churches ain't man-made. This church ain't man-made. God told me I was comfortable in my church up yonder, in ministry, going to the streets and the prisons. And you know, feeding the hungry. We had all the ministries going on. We had street ministries, man. I mean, I was involved in all of these ministries, in all of that. And God speaks to me to start a church. This ain't man-made. That ain't man-made. When God speaks to you to start a ministry, that's not a man-made ministry. That's a God breathed into you, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Word of God. And it's not man-made. And I thought, well, and I put on her, I said, I guess you don't go to church. Boop. And then the next statement I put on her, I said, I'm going tonight. Hallelujah. Glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here. But you know what, praise God? It's just like this right here. The Lord spoke to us. He said two things that we're called to do at this church. That's bring down the kingdom of darkness and reestablish the kingdom of God in the hearts of God's people. That tells me God wants to bring down satanic forces in this city and surrounding cities, and God wants the Word of God, the kingdom, reestablished in people that used to be established in. Hallelujah. And you know what? I told that guy in one of the texts, I'm just having a little fun with it, Mac. He can't trust me otherwise. I've been serving the Lord for 27 years. He's real. He saved me. I didn't commit suicide. I'm still married. My son's in church. My family, a lot of my family, all of y'all here, y'all love the Lord. Y'all give, and we feed people all over. We've fed families in India twice. One of the things he said, well, it's not about You ain't supposed to take up money. Why don't you take up food? And I thought, how are you going to get that to India? You can't send food to India. You ain't going to get food to India. You ain't taking that to India. So you send money, Mac, and you let them buy food in India. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, does it? And then we ain't got to have 15 semis and order planes. I mean, we ain't even got to get Trump involved. Get Air Force One or two. Help us get it over there. You know, and I thought, but that's what the enemy does. Whether it's feeding the poor, or whether it's your marriage, or whether it's your relationships, whether it's your kids, he always tries to distort God's word. Satan always, and he always has people that'll help you get distorted if you're not up on the word of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. And God backs up, the Bible says that he watches over his word to perform it. But now here we see we've got to live by the word of God. We need to think in line with the word of God. Not ever think defeat. Not just like monkey feelings of giving up and quitting, discouragement. Those are some of those can be because of thoughts, but Satan gets involved in it. Makes you want to quit. Just give up. What's the use? Those are not natural. Those are supernatural things that are trying to happen to get us to yield. But every time I've ever had those feelings and emotions and don't yield, they change. Those feelings and emotions change and encouragement comes. You know, the psalmist David even said it one time in the Bible. He said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, I don't know what all David was facing, but it sounds like in the Bible a lot worse than us. I mean, it was just a lot worse. But he said, I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have quit. I would have drawn back lest I believe to see the good. In other words, I believe what he was saying. I had faith in the promises of God. Well, you know, David, God, he knew what Deuteronomy said. I'll take you to a land that flows. And God had spoke to him. And God had anointed him and different things. How many of those were anointed through Jesus? Whether we realize it or whether we don't. Give me that Psalms 37, Zach. He's getting to actually work a little tonight. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Is that it, Zach? Go ahead. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth, that's a promise. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Go ahead, Zach. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now God carried me to that scripture through a preacher one time or whatever. I thought, I've got to get my Bible and see if that's in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I went and got my Bible, and when I read that right there, praise God, it just come alive on the inside of me. That he said, I've been young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous cast down. That's a big statement. That was a big, big statement. He could have lived 50 years. I don't know. He said, I was young, and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous cast down for his seed begging bread. And God spoke to me, and God said, you're not a beggar anymore. He said, you're the seed of Abraham. See, we're descendants of Abraham. He's the father of faith, and we're his descendants. That was a promise that God spoke to Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, he didn't tell him Jesus. He couldn't have kids or nothing. You know the story. I mean, he told him, in thy seed shall all the nations. He couldn't even have kids. You know, Abraham had to stand on that promise. That was a promise that God made him. In other words, I believe what that meant to Abraham, I will have a kid. He said, in my seed, out of my seed, out of my loins, you know. And sure enough, he stood on that. And the Bible says that Abraham staggered not concerning the promise. I mean, those we can stagger concerning the promise. And here we are today. We are the seed of Abraham. We're the descendants of Abraham, just like God said. And here we are today, and it's even multiplying. Just like he told Abraham, Abraham done gone. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But that promise is still working today because God said it would happen. You know, you hear this, you know, the Lord, He's about to come back. I don't know if He is or not. Come on, Lord. You know, I mean, I've got no problem with that. I'm born again. Praise God. And I'm not in no big hurry to leave. I'm kind of enjoying myself. When I stay in the Lord, I enjoy myself even through trouble, you know, and everything, you know. But it's the spirit of a lot of it they're saying is, though, they're tired. They're weary. They're, you know, wore out, just tired of dealing with earth. And that's a wrong spirit to be looking for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Faith is a strong expectation. I'm looking for Him. One day it's going to happen. And I get excited when I start thinking about one day I am going to be out of here, Lord. But You said, occupy till I come. You didn't say get weary and beat down. But you can read it in Revelations over there where Satan goes to wear out the saints. There's a lot of them getting wore out, hallelujah, because they're allowing circumstances. They're allowing the enemy. They're yielding to their emotions. And Satan is plotting, plan in that is to kill, steal, and destroy. Not my house. Not this church. Amen. I'm young. I'm getting older. And I've never seen the righteous that follow God. Those that follow Him, I've not seen them have to get down and beg. Believers are not beggars. Believers are not quitters. We don't believe in backing up, hallelujah. Just like somebody told me, you know, they was talking about the election. I said, listen, I'm not a debater. I'm not into politics. I said, I look at the background of both components, the people that are running. I said, and I'm going to look at the one that is for not killing babies, that is for my Second Amendment rights, my God-given rights, my God-given right to go to church, my God-given right to worship Jehovah Jireh, Jesus. I said, I'm going to look at those that wants to give me a choice where I send my kids to school or not. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at the ones that are wanting me to stay free through the Constitution that's been given to the United States of America for over 200 years. I said, that is the ones that I'm going to vote for. I don't have to say it. The Bible says that we will know them by their, not mouth. I put it on Facebook today, didn't mention no names or nothing, praise God, hallelujah, because I'm all for God. I'm all for God in our cities. I'm all for God in every home. I'm all for Jesus in the White House and the courthouse. I want Him everywhere I go. I want to feel His presence. But I put it on there today, you know, on Facebook, you know, go and look at the record. Look at people's record. I said, don't turn to the media to find out where your facts. You're not going to get them in the media. Don't turn to the media. Don't turn to the ones running. Turn to the record. You can go, I mean, they can pull me over right now and they'll say, well, Mr. Weston, you don't show nowhere to be in jail. I'd have to say it's been too long. My record's clean. I've got a clean record. If I want to go get a job over there, they run background checks. Hey, man, I mean, they run background checks on me if companies that want to advertise for me. They run background checks on you now. I mean, you know, if you've been to jail, hey, well, a few years. See how you go act a few years. Why? Checking my record. Nothing wrong with that, are they? Because I told one, I said, look, man, are you serious? He said, you would be surprised at the people that lie to us about that. And I mean, they're still on parole and everything else, and we can't get them in people's houses. What they're doing a background check, hallelujah. Well, you know I check God's background? He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. I check the background of Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all the way to the end. And I can't find nowhere in history where He's left anybody. where he's abandoned anybody, where he's abandoned his children, hallelujah. I can't find the background of a dead God like some of them gods. Jesus is the only one that's still alive today. Them other gods died, hallelujah. They're dead. But Jesus is still alive. God's word, as long as this earth remains, God, before he comes and gets, his promises are going to be activated through our faith in God, hearing from him, number one. We need to be prayer people. We need to be people of prayer, not prayer of fear and unbelief. I hear people out there say, oh God, would you please wrap your loving arms around? And I'm like, he's not going to do that. It sounds spiritual. God, wrap your arms around that family over there. No, you'd rather come in them. Come on, somebody. He ain't wrapping it. He coming in, resurrecting, hallelujah. It's like give us a big hug. No, don't give us a big hug. Raise us from the dead. Don't give us a big hug. Deliver us. Lord, we know you're a deliverer. We know you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. We know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We know that we got to speak your words over our circumstances and situations. And some people think that's silly. Did you hear our president today? He said he needed help from above. He said, I'll get in trouble for saying that. He said, somebody told me the other day, you're the most famous person on the planet. Did you hear it? He looked at him and said, no, Jesus Christ is. He said his name. He said his name, two or three. He said, I'm not afraid to say that we need help from above. He said it two or three times. I'm not afraid to say that we need help from above. See, but a lot of folk don't think we need help from above. A lot of people, you're trying to get born again, they don't think they need Jesus. They think they need a house, money, things to get worked out, and all that stuff, but that's not what they need. All that stuff works out when you really serve and go after the Lord Jesus. He might not take every trial from you, but he'll grace you. He'll make you stronger in the trials. He'll cause you to come out and say, is that all Satan's got? Is that it? Because his promises are sure, praise God. Give me whatever I got there. I done forgot. Oh, yeah. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith. She's going to college. You're going to go by faith. Hallelujah. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. There's going to be challenges. They're going to check the norms, I guess, and stuff. I don't know. But I guarantee you, there's some challenges in it, praise God. Number one, she's got to leave home. But she's excited. She believes this is the path that God's got for her, praise God. But she's going to have, you're going to have to study. You're about that? You're going to have curfews. You're going to have temptations. All kinds of things are going to happen. But you're going to walk by faith. You've been planted the word of the Lord and everything planted in you. Then when you get out there, you're going to be just like Jesus, all of us. You're going to be, nope, the word, I'm not going that route. The word says this. I'm not going to believe that. The word says this. Even in some of the colleges, the Big Bang Theory that we come from monkeys and evolved and all kind of stuff. They tried it with Travis in school. But we had done taught him before he got to school that he was created in the image and likeness of God. And so he never believed the stuff. He wouldn't believe it. Still don't believe it today. But thank God for God's word. But we put it in them and we put it in ourselves. But you can't give out something you ain't got in you. If you ain't got it living in you, you can't give it to your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors. See, we got to walk by faith. And that's not, faith is not some blind thing. Faith is a strong confidence in God. A strong confidence in him that he'll do what he said he'd do, praise God. All right, come on, Zach. Here's how faith comes. We walk by faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. You know, even miracles don't make people believe in God. Sure don't. Nowhere in Scripture it says faith comes by hearing. Look at all they saw in the wilderness. Look at the Red Sea rolled back. So they saw that. Here come the enemy. They were in bondage. Brought them out. He dried the land up and they went across. The enemy came in, smacked them. Boy, they begin to sing praises to God. You know, they get out into the wilderness. They see a fire at night because it gets down below freezing, I guess, in the desert. I don't know. Fire by night, cloud by day because it's very hot out there. They're in the desert. You know, they see water come out of a rock by the word of the Lord. Told Moses, take your rod, smite the rock. He seen manna come out of heaven. And then they get on out into the wilderness just a little bit in trials, Mac, and they forget about all that. That's not what causes you to have faith. You can see God move, pay your cars off, pay your house off, and you can go on down the road and challenges come in your way, and you can forget about God. You can just forget about Him. You can be swallowed up by cares and promises and bills. I mean, work tries to swallow me up all the time. I could be working right now. I'm 4 weeks. Never happened before. I'm 4 to 5 weeks behind on garage doors. But where am I at tonight? You better believe I'm coming to church, Mac. I'll get my gun out and shoot it all down when it comes to that. Why? Because I'm not going to forget the promises of God. I'm not going to just let God deliver me from the enemy and bring me up to where I got a good life and then go back into bondage and lose everything that I've fought for, everything that I've stood in faith and believed God for. And I realize that devil wants to do it, whether it's through blessing. He'll take a blessing and get you to yield to where a blessing of the Lord can curse you. It can curse you. I told that guy about money. I don't care about money. I'm going to make money. I make money. I'm blessed going in. I believe that promise. I'm blessed going in. Blessed going in. Blessed in the city. Blessed. Everything I set my hands to it turns into a blessing. Hallelujah. You know, people have told me, well, you don't need to brag too much about that. What's wrong with you, man? I got that out of the Bible. And I just stood on that promise. I used to be cursed. I couldn't even have a garbage business, hauling off garbage and be successful. I got that out of the Bible and believed God that I was a nobody, that I felt like a nobody, but God, I can be a somebody. God, you've took a nobody and put your spirit in here. God, help me to believe that I can be a somebody one day, that I can be blessed going in, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed the fruit of my body. Lord, help me to believe that all these promises are mine. And you know what? He did. I wouldn't quit, and He did, and He is, and He will, and He does. And He ain't going to stop. That guy, he said, money. I said, well, you know, I said, I wonder how much money when Judas stole $30 from Jesus. I wonder how much that was worth back then, 30 pieces of silver. I don't know. 30 pieces of silver could be like $3 million. I don't know. Today, in today's money. Like Jesus didn't have no money. Like Jesus did. Listen, man, He had Judas, His treasurer. They would go give people money. The dude just don't know. I'm thinking he's bitter against church, but that's okay. He's just giving in to his father. He's just yielding to the dark side. Hallelujah. God's all into church. You know, God asked me one time, we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And the services lasted about 2 hours, Mac. That was a little longer than ours. I'd go a little over an hour. With Wade, he would sing one song for 45 minutes sometimes. I mean, you know, he'd get on a... We have it good here. Travis, he's got 3 songs, a minute each. So we're about 4 minutes into a song, if he don't say worship for a minute. You know, we can be out of, you know. So, I mean... That's a little short version there. But you know what, praise God? I mean, you know, and I'm getting tired of it. I mean, you know, because I have to work and all that. And I'm praying and fasting one time, and God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, how many hours do you work for money? And I thought, well, geez, man, I go in at 5 o'clock and get off at 5 o'clock. Work 12 hours a day most times, you know, sometimes 7 to 5, you know. And so I work 45, 50 hours, 50 hours a week. He said, in church only lasts 6 hours a week. He said, besides that, he said, church is where you learn how to get raises. Church is where you learn how to love your enemy. Church is where you learned how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Church is where you learned how to walk with me. He said, now all of this other, he said, it's got to be easy street with you now, because now you're not having all the trouble you was having before you got saved. And I thought, well, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And then it wasn't too long till my job was causing me to miss Sunday nights. I mean, Wednesday night. So I went to my boss. I said, I'm not looking for a reason to quit, but I bet you he thought, yeah, you are. Because I quit him a bunch of times, man. I'm not looking for a reason to quit. Well, see, when I'm telling you this story, because I felt conviction in my heart, convincing that I needed church, that church kept me, filled me up in the middle of the week, man. It caused me to have energy in God in the middle of the week that I could face the rest of the week at that time, you know. So I went to my boss and I said, I'm telling you, I'm not looking for a reason to quit, but I work hard for you now, man. I'm trying to be a good hand. I'm trying to make you money, but I go to church on Wednesday night, and I'm going to quit if I have to. If I can't make church on Sunday or Wednesday night, I will quit. I never missed another Wednesday night. He hired somebody to load my truck, Dunny, when I run late. I would have to load it in the afternoon, you know, he hired somebody after school to come in and help me to load. And if I couldn't go to church in time, he would just, go ahead, sugar, go. But what I'm saying is, see, I knew what the scripture said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. You know, and I thought, that's a promise there. That's not something that I should hate. That's something, man, you know, that I should look at and say, as the manner of some are. In other words, I've seen it like this. You know, don't start not going to church as the manner of some are. Some was going after the Lord, now they're not. But you know what? Because I realized that after that, I did that. And I went back and I was miserable. I mean, I was just unsatisfied and miserable. Didn't have no hope anymore. Mac, I experienced it. I'm like, oh, I got to get back in there with the Lord, man. I feel awful, man. I mean, bad things are going to happen. I mean, and I've got no faith to fight them. And, you know, that's awful there, man. I mean, that's not a good feeling, praise God. That's like having a gun. Somebody going to break your house and you ain't got no bullets. You know, what you going to do? Come on in. I ain't got no bullets, but I'm going to shoot you if I would. If I had some bullets, hallelujah. But he said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So look, it's not about just hearing preaching all the time. Being aware of what you're thinking when you're in trials. You know, you've got to be aware of it, because your mind will start on tangents and just tell you this and that. It's not going to work out. Satan will throw thoughts, you know. I mean, every now and then he'll tell me, Teresa don't love you anymore. I'll go in and she's acting a little ugly to me. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I'll be like, yeah, look at her house. Freak. I bet if she had a new man, he would be like king. You know, where are we going, baby? What do you want to eat, baby? Until we'd almost get in a fight every time we go eat. What you want? I don't know what you want. Oh, no, I ain't thought about it. What do you want? I don't know. I ain't thought about it. What do you want? Oh, I never had that to happen. She told me one time, Max, she said, why don't you just be a man? Just decide where we're going to eat. So the next time we went back, God, we got in the car, and what you want? I said, I'm the man. I'm deciding where we eat, and you're going to eat it. But God, I just took us to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I become a man, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Stand on them promises, hallelujah. Don't give in to the way it feels and what it looks like. You stand on the promises of God. If you ain't got no promise concerning what you're facing, get in that Bible, find it, pray, ask the Lord. Lord, show me what scriptures are. Show me where they're at, God. Show me what I need to be standing on, God. Ask the Lord. He'll give you a word. And you know when he gives you a word, I thought about Peter, and I'll close with this. You know, Peter and them's in the boat. Jesus goes out. There's a storm raging, and he tells Peter, he said, come. Peter stepped out of that boat on that sea. Only place I can find him and Jesus, only one walked on the water. And he literally walked on the water till he began to look at the storm around him. When he began to look at the storm around, see what he was doing, that was a promise. God said, come. Jesus said, come. That's a word. That's a promise. He stepped out on that promise. That promise had power to hold him up. And then he went on until his heart, he got to looking at the storm. And you know what? He sunk. Even then Jesus come and picked him up. But there's a story in that. We don't have to sink. We don't have to do it, praise God. All we got to do is stand on God's promises, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we